I know you're going to love this one. Man goes into a pet store. A single man decides he wants a pet, a companion, and he wants something truly unique. So after looking at everything, he finally gets with the pet owner, the shop owner. And the shop owner says, "I've got a talking centipede." And the man says, "I'll take it. It comes in its own little white box, a special little house, talking centipede. How great is that?" He takes the centipede home. The next morning he gets up and he leans over to the box and he says, "Mr. Centipede, would you like to go to church with me today? Learn about Jesus." Centipede says nothing. He leans in a little closer. He says, "Mr. Centipede, would you like to go to church with me today and learn about Jesus?" The centipede says nothing. Finally, he puts his face right in the box and he says, "Mr. Centipede, would you like to go to church with me today and learn about Jesus?" And suddenly a voice from the box says, "I heard you the first time. I'm still putting on my shoes." Make me laugh. That's all that matters. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a visitor today. Thought I didn't see him sneak in. John, you want to tell us about your visitor?
I call him Big Larry.
Okay, Big Larry. We'll take it.
His name is Larry French.
Okay.
He's an alumni of the mission.
Very good.
We met to the mission, and he said, "You're the only one that didn't fall asleep."
That's because I yell a lot.
Yeah.
Larry, do you remember Frank?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Frank, do you know Larry? We're going to get the skinny on you now. Boy, we're going to ask him how good you are. Good morning, I said.
Good morning.
Hey, look at what I got on. Look at this here, boy. See that Chambersburg Valley Antique Machine? Look on the back. Look at that. That is a 1915 international famous screen-cooled hit-and-miss gas engine, just in case you were wondering. And that is a gift to me from Marjorie and Aiden back there at Myers's. They had this custom made for me for my birthday and showed up on this day. And I'm so proud I'm wearing it while I preach. And what do you think of that? And it is a joyful day. How's Ella doing? I have to tell you, I haven't shared this story, but I went to see Ella at the emergency room, and I had just gotten off from work, and judging from the beautiful picture that Greg made back there, you can see generally what I look like when I get off from work. Y'all know it, bib overhauls. I come thundering into the emergency room because I was in a hurry, and I walked up to the desk, and the security guard goes, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm pastor of Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and I believe you have one of my little congregants in here." And this is how exactly he went. He went, "Really?" I said, "Boy, I know what's coming." I said, "What?" And he goes, "You're really a preacher." And I went, "Yes, I am. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He goes, "You don't look like no preacher." I said, "Okay." He goes, I said, "What do they look like?" He goes, "Well, they don't look like you." And then he told me what room number it was. He said, "Go on back." Still hasn't stopped. I'm glad to know that she's doing better. Thank you for being with us today, Larry. And also want to keep Lori in mind as she has traveled up to spend the weekend with Richie up in New York. Gail's not here. She's okay. Tilly okay? Tilly said she might try to make it.
She's just not feeling well.
I sang to her and brought her apples today. So I have to see if she gets her apples today. Others this morning, joys or concerns, we're glad to have back with us, and I'll reintroduce them just in case you've forgotten. That would be Bud and Shirley Letterman, who were safely traveling around the country, 16 states in 4 days. That's what it felt like, didn't it? And the joke was being made that she didn't push you off when you got to the top of the mountain, so everything's good. Glad to have you back with us this morning. As well as glad to see you back, Denny. You feeling better, are you? Foot feeling better? Good. Good. Others this morning, joys and concerns. And for those of you who don't know, and most of you do, Suzanne had her test this past week, and they had decided that a very small spot was still left. And so she's going to have to go back into treatment. Matter of fact, she's already back in treatment. She started, I think, the very next day. And this treatment is going to be a little bit more difficult, which is why she's sitting back there. But keep her in your prayers, because it was a blessing and there's still more work to do. It was a blessing that it got all but one little spot and that she don't have to take that vicious chemo anymore. She gets to take something different. And while she's got to wait a little longer, it could have been a lot worse. So amen, and we're lifting you up, Suzanne. Others this morning, joys or concerns. And for those of you who don't know and you want to keep it in your daily prayer life, and I probably have never shared it and probably should have a long time ago, but I told you before, I am not the smartest person around. Our very own Chris, who is on his way to being licensed in the ministry, goes to the prison. How often is it?
2 to 3 times a month.
2 to 3 times a month to bring Jesus the message, the gospel, the good news. Into the prison. Praise the Lord. Eventually, I'm going to give it a whirl. As soon as I take the classes and figure everything out and let him teach me what to do. Can you imagine me turned loose in there? They'll keep me. But you want to keep that in prayer, because on his own, he's taking Christ's message to the lost. So I want to keep that lifted up in prayer. Any others this morning? Let us join our hearts together then. And as always, that unspoken request too heavy upon your heart, just that hand up and down as we come forward. Thank all of you. Let us join our hearts together and set our minds with his will, Father. It is unbelievable when we are able to step back for just a moment and look at you through the eyes that we should. As Father, you discipline us when we're wrong. You love us when we hurt. You rejoice in our happiness. You created us, and yet you still give more. Let us be eternally thankful that we know you, that we seek your face, that we seek you in all things we do, and that how we do that is through your gift of Jesus Christ. Set aside ourselves for the rest of the service, Father. You've heard our desires, our problems, our concerns, and the heartbrokenness that sometimes permeates every aspect of our life, Father. But I would just give unto you, your will be done. Happy we are. We have much to joy about. We have those who traveled, came back safely. Those who, while they didn't receive the news they wanted and are continuing on in treatment, we're lifting them up, but they did receive joyful news, Father. I think the most important thing that we seek out is to heal brokenness, strengthen hearts, restore peace to troubled minds. We can't do any of that without your guidance. Upon those prayers, upon those thoughts, which are too greatly to be mouthed out, which are too greatly to be enunciated with sound, that might be placed in the prayer box or that hand that goes up and down, Father, you already knew them. But yet we still fall in front of you, asking for your continued blessing for this country, for this state, for this county, for this town, for this church, for the members in it, for the extension that goes from here to their families in all things they do, for those who live to support and protect us in all facets, Father. Let us pray as Jesus has us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles up to John chapter 19. We're going to stay pretty much there in and out. And if you have a pencil and you're so desired to, I don't know. Our sermon was called Destroy, Build, Destroy. And that sermon is going to be put on hold, I guess, till next week. You can retitle it whatever you want. I'm calling it simply A Reminder. A Reminder. John chapter 19, the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it all. We're going to move around through it today as a reminder. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I can find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." Let us hold right there and set those few first verses in our hearts as we set our minds forward for the sermon today. Would you please pray with me? Jesus, come into our hearts. Break them open. Help us to set aside the labors which we need not worry about at this particular moment, and let our eyes be fixed upon you. For you are the everything, the truth, the light, the way. I pray these words that I speak today are from you, Father, and I pray that you help me, because without your help, I will fail. And the words will fall flat. So strengthen them, Father, as they are from you, leading us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might know the name Horatio Spafford. I can see by your faces the answer would be, I've told this story before, so it surprises me you don't already know it. It's one of my favorite stories. But Horatio G. Spafford was a lawyer. He was a fancy man. He got nice t-shirts with gas engines on them. Only thing is, Horatio lived long about the hours in 1870s. And he had been a prominent builder. And he had been in Chicago, and he had built many great things. I don't need that anymore. He had built many great things, and he had saw his businesses go up in smoke at the great Chicago fire. Lost everything. Everything. Money, property, title, gone. Gone. Millions. Horatio was crushed. He decided that they needed a change of pace, and so Horatio loaded up his wife and decided that instead of going with them, he would go on to New York where an urgent matter needed him. Horatio had decided he wanted to go see D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey as they were evangelizing in England, but this order took him to New York, so he loaded his wife up, Anna, and their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie. Four daughters. Put them on a luxurious French liner, the Ville de Harvey. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. During the vessel's passage over the sea to England, it collided with another freight merchant vessel and sank. And Horatio and Anna lost all four daughters. Gone. Here was a man who had everything taken from him. Everything. Horatio immediately booked passage to join with his wife because after she was found unconscious, clinging to wreckage, when she landed in Cardiff, she sent a word to her husband, survived alone. He knew where he needed to be, and so he immediately boarded and took off. A cold December night, the captain went down to Horatio's cabin, pulled him out, and said, "I believe we are passing over where the Ville de Havre went down." Spafford went to his cabin and found it hard to sleep. He kept saying to himself, "It is well. The will be of God be done. It is well. The will of God be done. It is well." And he sat down and he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul." Anybody in here know that hymn? Show of hands. Oh, yeah. Joe Cross. So that's in that section right there. Joe Cross maintains a pretty quiet demeanor. Joe Cross, who simply wants to be here and be in fellowship and listen to what the sermon is, and on occasion call me and picket me. Joe Cross, who brings food to our little brunches. Everybody knows what he brings. Right? Everybody's smiling. Buffalo. Love it. Joe Cross, whom you never see, slipping money into the jar, but I know he does. Joe Cross's eldest son, Michael, took his life yesterday morning, as well as that of his wife. I couldn't hardly preach a sermon about destroy, build, destroy today, could I? In those hours, I got a phone call from his son, Dennis, whom I worked with. "Come over to the house right away. I need you to be with me when we go see Dad." And then I got the story. Well, by the time I got there, they had told him. Joe Cross is suffering today and asking those questions. Why? I don't understand why the guilty party, the guilty effects have set in. What could I have done? The anger has set in. The one, Dennis's daughter, is due to be married this Saturday coming. It's bad. Now, before you start thinking what you're going to do, I'll tell you what to do. You leave it, have some time, because in conversations with Joe, right now he can't handle a bunch of phone calls or visits. In time, he will accept them. For now, your job is to pray, and my job is to remind you that a story I heard should always be around you when this thing happens. A young pastor was attending the funeral of a 20-year-old, barely had begun his life, was looking out over the casket in the crowd, knowing that the funeral that he was going to preside over was going to be hard and long and difficult. After the funeral was over, the father came to him again and said, "Where was God?" He didn't have an answer. So he prayed about it. Now, I heard this story from an older pastor who had this story related directly to him from this pastor. And he got his answer and he went back to this man and he ministered to him and he made this statement: "God was in the same place when your son died when they were crucifying mine." I need to know constantly that I'm getting through, that I'm setting your hearts in the right place, that I'm constantly lifting you up and reminding you that above all else you do on this planet, regardless of how many toys you desire to have, and believe you me, I desire to have a lot of these kind of toys. I'm married, so I'm not allowed to. Regardless of what, how big house you want, or how big your television is, or how big your car is, in a moment, it's gone. You're left with nothing but your sincere belief on Jesus Christ. Nothing. I need to know that you believe. I need to know that you walk daily by the Savior's side. I need to know that as they beat a crown of thorns down upon His head, that whatever happens to you in this world, you continue to hold your trust to Him. I'm going to have a hard time with this one. I've got a lot of work ahead of me. I ask that you as family pray for Judd. Pray for Dennis. Pray for the family of Susan, Michael's wife, who is now monstrously affected by this. And I ask for prayer for me. You know, when I became a pastor, and it's funny as I walk into my anniversary, because just a couple of weeks ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago, it all ended for me. After several days of wallowing in self-pity and the desire to end my own life, a phone call to Linda, and here I am. It's important. I thought, well, I could do some funerals. This is going to be hard. And so unto me comes the duty, not just to the Cross family, but to you, my family. We don't come to church on Sunday mornings because it is a fashionable thing to do. We don't come to church on Sunday mornings. I was talking to somebody here not too long ago who was all excited because they were getting a new multimedia setup center for their church, which was going to flash things on screens and change the lights while the preacher spoke and everything. And they said, why don't you do that? And I said, I don't need all that trash. He didn't like that answer. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I don't need lights to point out how big I am. The people at Popeye's Chicken can tell you that. We lose. What do you do next? You're lost. How do you handle it next? Imagine, and this is where I started from this verse, imagine yourself sitting and watching your own son as Christ, knowing what His job is, knowing as you put Him into the world, knowing that as He was born, He was going to suffer the embarrassment, the ridicule, and the ultimate destruction. By that knowledge, God should have blown the earth out of the universe. He didn't. He said, the only way I can get through to you thick-headed people is this way. And that is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Read on with me. Starting in verse 8, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid because he was a sissy. He was more worried about his own place in the palace. It even says he went back into the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have the power to either free you or to crucify you? Stop right there. That is the condition of the world today. We think we have the power. As is evidenced by this past Saturday, we have no control. As is evidenced by what Horatio Spafford went through, we have no control. Brothers and sisters, we are born to die. We will leave this earth one day. My question to you is, how are you leaving? How will you deal with loss when it comes to your door? I'm praying that as I have been here for 4 years now, I guess getting ready to start into five, right? That I reach to you every week. That regardless of how bad it is that week, Christ is still in the exact same spot He's always been, reaching for you to walk to Him. God is in the same place He has always been, constantly reminding us that I sent my Son to die for you, that He bled for you. Constantly reminding us, whatever the cost, the reward is eternal. Constantly. Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Now, in that verse, we don't see everything. The gospel writer did not write it all out. You need to read the verses over and over and over and over and over again in order to get your mind set. First of all, he was beat. I'm not going to get long and hard into that description. We all know what happened. We know that they were beat with a leather, I don't even know what they called that thing. All I know is they had hooks on it and tore flesh off. That Roman soldiers slapped him repeatedly in the face. And that a crown of thorns was jammed on his head. You ever got caught in a bunch of thorns while you're trying to get them blackberries out, raspberries out? Oh yeah. I've gone in to get a quart of raspberries and come out with the whole bush stuck in it. And it hurts. This was beat down on his head. They hung a purple robe on him. They mocked him. And in the middle of all this pain, blood pouring out, the pain that was going through him, you can't begin to imagine. He still answered Pilate, "You're not in control. God is. My Father." When these losses come to us, when these things come to us, He's in control. Why does this stuff happen? I don't know. I do know sometimes that we go through trials and tribulations, if you remember the story of the silversmith, to make us stronger and not to turn us away, but to draw us even closer. And I do know that as the time progresses, and one day when we leave this earth, you got two choices of where you're going, hell or heaven. There's a billboard on Route 140 coming out of Baltimore. Big, giant billboard. I wish I had it in my front yard. Maybe I'll call them and see if I can get one put up out there. Big, gigantic billboard. Choose heaven, hell. John chapter, I think it's 7. What's your choice? What are you living for right now? What will you do when loss visits you? Now, in Horatio's case, he could have went clean around the bend. He could have railed against God. He could have thundered his fist. He could have beaten. Maybe he did. Maybe he spent a lot of time in long lost thought over it. He lost everything he had, and then on top of that, he lost his daughters. We're going to sing that hymn when we leave here today. "It is well with my soul." And I want you to listen to each and every word as we sing it. And I want you to remember that as God's children, as you who stood up one day and said, "Jesus, I can't take this anymore. I can't go any further anymore. I can't be this person anymore. I can't have..." Where's my thing at? "I can't have this black soul." Now, I'm no genius, even though I think I am. Do you know why the color black is black? Does anybody know? Absence of color. Everything that goes in, gone, sucked in. When your soul is that color, after you became saved, He charged you with a simple thing. Spread my gospel. Love mankind. Be with those who need it. Be my beacon. Pretty simple work. I love my tractors. I love my tractor shares. I love all that stuff. But if the instance ever comes where I have to choose, I'm afraid I won't have tractors anymore. I will not lose the eternal glory of heaven that the salvation of Jesus Christ brought me by worldly pleasure. I will not lose the eternal joy of heaven that salvation in Jesus Christ brought me by allowing loss to destroy me. Will I mourn? Of course you will. Will you be sad? Yes. It's not saying you won't be. And will I, when the time is called upon me, as I'm charging unto you, brothers and sisters, reach out and be in fervent prayer for those we know that are lost, losing, or have lost? Yes, say yes you will. Amen. But I need to know, do you live your life for Jesus? Do you live your life for Jesus in all things? It is in these times of sudden loss that make me ask that question. Am I doing good enough? No. Am I reaching out enough? No. Am I going to quit trying? No. Let's read on a little bit further. Of course, we know what happened. Pilate hauled him out there. I want to go on down to verse 28. We know that he's placed on the cross. We know that he had to carry his own cross. We know that he went to the place in Aramaic called Golgotha, the place of skull. Later knowing that all was completed, stop. Later knowing that all was completed as our precious Savior hung. Knowing that all was completed. Knowing that the final step was now necessary, that he die in order to start salvation, in order to take the black to white, in order to wash out with the red. Later knowing that all was completed, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it and put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Died. I need to know. I need to remind you. We sit in these pews on Sunday morning, not fashionable. Not to sing some hymns that we really love. Not because it's the right thing to do. Not because we feel like we need to fraternize. We need to sit in this church on Sunday morning that the message that God provides will put upon our hearts what is our charge for the week to come. We sit in these church on Sunday mornings because we want, desire, need, cannot live without a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
That's why we're here. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
That was good. We will lose. We will suffer loss. We will lose things near and dear to us, whether it be a friend, a loved one, or something within ourselves. The loss is replaced by the blood of Jesus. The lost is replaced by knowing that Christ fills within. The lost is replaced by knowing that, yes, you lost here, but you gained there. You will leave heaven or hell. I like hearing people say that, well, a loving God is not going to let people go to hell. Oh, yes, he is. A loving God said simply, you believe in my Son. Jesus said, what? What did you say this morning? John 14:1. What did he say? Anybody recite that from heart? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Well, no, that wasn't 14. Yeah, it was. John 14:1. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No one what? Except through me. That's a loving God. That he gave us John chapter 19 to read and to remind ourselves constantly. That's a loving God, that He put His own Son on a cross to die. That's a loving God, that He gave us a place to always rally around in our moment of loss. That's a loving God, that He gave us Jesus Christ who died on a cross, that we will be forever reminded that when our brother or sister is in trouble, we will pray, we will rally, we will love them, we will not let them fall. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a reminder that I preach today that you are children of Jesus. And that no matter what, I beg and pray to remind you that no matter what happens, it is well with my soul. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. I ask every Sunday, and I'm asking now, if it ain't well with your soul, if your heart is wrong, we have plenty of room up here to pray. I got plenty of time. I got all Sunday afternoon. But today I simply ask that you be with the Cross family in your hearts and in your prayers. If you have any questions for the time being, you simply come to me with them. Until at such time that Joe says, because he's going to need that at some point. And I remind you yet again that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's why you sit here. That you belong to Jesus Christ. That's why you read this. That you belong to Jesus Christ. Let no loss take you away. Mourn, be sad, but let no loss take you away from the love of Christ. A reminder. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are unbelievably blessed. If we ever stopped for a moment to look around at what really you have given us, we might be too paralyzed to move. And so I ask you to keep the blinders on and allow us to focus on the one thing, and that is loving your Son, Christ. Thank you for the beautiful words and colors that would teach us to go from black to yellow. From lost to destroyed without no color to yellow, which you have said is a lampstand, and let us be that. Because one day in eternity we will shine forever. And if there is loss, Father, I pray that you will strengthen those who are enduring it to know you. Yes, they will mourn. Yes, they will weep. Yes, there will be sadness and questions, but I pray that they are reminded never to let go of Christ. And I pray fervently for the Cross family and for all the family members whose lives will be touched by this, both blood and by the blood of Christ, their Christian family. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think, if I remember correctly, it's number 705. 705. I once heard this hymn in a big church with a big choir and a big congregation, and they were belting it out hard and heavy. And then I once heard it in a little country church of 20 people. And you know what? No matter how loud, no matter how proud you sing this hymn, whether there be 1,000 or 10, this thing is still beautiful.
Please stand.
It is well.
is well. Father, thank you. Thank you for lifting us up through that hymn. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for setting our hearts afire and in the same direction. I pray, Father, upon these gathered, that they know why they're here. And that they depart from here today in fellowship and in loving kindness, ever seeking out mankind through word, deed, or prayer, Father. And let us be strengthened as we come through what the week has for us. And let us remember those in need of our affection. And now I pray our strengthening until we meet again together here or on that golden shore. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.